Okay, we are going to start with the Q&A. Manuel Palomo, a lot of hands, sorry. I will try to give the round to everybody. Manuel Palomo, please.
Well, thank you very much. Two questions, but both at the high level. It's Rob Pullin from Morgan Stanley. First of all, congratulations on another very impressive plan. Look forward to digesting that. So firstly, on a very topical subject, and given you raised it early, I assumed you wanted the question. May we ask how big this data center power theme could be? As I look at slide 55, you talk about 7 terawatt hours already. How big a growth area could this be for Iberdrola? And should we consider it mainly through tech-backed PPAs for new renewables? And secondly, maybe a little bit awkward, on the balance sheet, given you've just outlined this investment plan. But as I look at Pepe's comments and the headroom versus the credit rating agencies, 24% FFO to net debt by 2026, 3.2 times net debt to EBITDA, is down quite a bit from recent years. So why is this the right level of gearing now, especially when you have 85% of the plan locked in, A countries and a network bias? Or should we just assume there's actually quite a lot of headroom and dry firepower for incremental investments should they arise? Thank you very much.
So I think on the first question related to the data centers, I think we are in this moment something like 7 terawatt hours already contracted with PPAs. Today, we just announced another PPA with Amazon here in Britain, precisely for their data centers. So, and I think it's an area where we are very active. We are already in contact with very many developers in different countries because we consider that is going to be an important demand in the future. So I think this afternoon in one of the sessions, Agustin Delgado, we can already provide you detail how we are seeing this market. I don't know the numbers by memory, but probably that can represent an increase in the electricity demand and on the range of 10 to 15% in the next few years. But I think this afternoon, this detail will be provided by Agustin Delgado. The second one is related to PPAs.
No, as I mentioned, it is true that now we have good headroom for in terms of the BBB plus rating. As I was mentioning, we are somewhere between 19 and 20%, which is the top range of the BBB plus rating. And obviously that gives us the possibility, to accelerate investments if needed, etc. So I think that gives us a good position to continue growing and to beat the targets of this plan, maintaining the financial strength.
Next, Manuel Palomo now, and then I will.
Thank you for taking my questions. Sorry. I've got three. One, it's to some extent a bit of follow-up of last Rob's question. I mean, previous CMD in November 22, you took the decision to prioritize investments in networks versus reducing a bit investments in renewables to around 4 gigawatts per year. This time, you go a step farther. You move from 4 to 3 gigawatts per year while increased capex in networks. However, balance sheet super strong at 3.2 times net debt EBITDA by full year 26, which arguably is much better than other even pure regulated peers. So my question is, what is the rationale for the lower yield installations in renewables? Maybe more challenging returns, trying to make company free cash flow generation more predictable, hence improving the risk profile, or maybe you're just trying to prepare the balance sheet for an additional acceleration in capex. Second question would be on storage. You highlighted the relevance of storage. You see that it is key to facilitate the transition. On the one side, you mentioned that Iberdrola has done a lot of investments in pumping, hydro in Spain, also, and in Portugal, also batteries in Australia and the UK. But what prevents you from increasing investments in batteries in other EU countries? Or maybe asking it another way around, what would you need to accelerate investments in batteries, which apparently are super needed for the energy transition? And my third question is a bit on the Spanish networks. When I look at the plan for the coming 3 years, you've got 21.5 billion investment in networks, out of which 10% in Spain, which gives us roughly 0.7 billion per year in the country. Is this one of the potential hidden growth drivers? What would you need to boost investments in networks in Spain? And if you could assess on to what extent you could increase the CapEx in networks in Spain. Thank you.
So the first thing is why we are not investing more in the in renewables in networks with such a balance sheet. So, I think in networks you've seen that we have already public service obligations. So I think we are not investing what we like. We are investing what we are requested. So the fact yesterday I was with the Chancellor here in Britain, and they were commenting about what is the needs of this country for new transmission. And I think is we are just being given already this East Anglia Eastern Link connection, but now is planning as well another reinforcement with this Eastern Link. So I think we have to have room to make as much as is required. Same thing in the state. In the state, we are this rate case compared with the previous one, we are more than doubling. But I think in any time we can be called already for making more things because the service is required. So I think we have to have certain additional room for making whatever is needed that one. In terms of batteries, we are making in some countries. I think in the storage, we are in the countries we have already, like Spain, in which we have already still possibilities of changing our actual power plant, hydropower plant in reversible. We are doing, Armando was mentioning three that we have in construction, but we are putting batteries as well. I think we are putting batteries in Spain, in some areas. We are putting batteries in Britain. Here in close to Glasgow, in Whaley, we have a huge battery, which is beside our onshore wind farm. We have batteries in Ireland. But I think that we are talking about what is those ones which we are more obvious. It's more obvious in those places where we have already huge number of retail customers and we can already stabilize and provide already predictability and stability of our margins. In Spain, in terms of remuneration of this one, you know, in Spain we are under a law which we have a maximum of investment law, which is I think it's 0.70%, correct to me, of the GDP. That makes it 1.7, 1.8 billion for all sector together per annum. And that is what we have today. I think we are already making the maximum we are allowed to make. Now that is under review, but if it's, it that change, in that case, of course, for change reason of this service, we will be ready to put more money if it's already requested to put more money. So I think those are the main limitations of that one. Okay?
Yeah? Next, Jenny, and then Fernando Lafuente and Javier Garrido.
Thanks very much. It's Jenny Ping from Citi. Three questions, please. Just firstly, on politics, in some of your key jurisdictions, whether it's the UK or US, obviously we've got elections coming. I just wondered whether you have any commentary in terms of the expectations there and some of the policy changes that you're seeing, expecting in Spain. Secondly, just follow up from earlier on M&A, I presume if you know, given you talked about asset rotations in renewables, the network side is much more likely to be acquisitive, and whether you've got any commentaries around some of the discussions you're having there on the M&A side. And then lastly, just looking at your CapEx plan, 50% roughly close to of your CapEx is going into the US networks business in the network division. Can you just talk a little bit about how you envisage the gap that you have seen in the past in terms of the allowed rate of return and the achieved rate of return in the US? And perhaps that's one of the reasons why Avangrid shares has been trading where it was trading. So how do you envisage that gap to be closed? Thank you.
So first, I think it's, as you said, in some countries, almost in all countries, we have elections. So we have election UK, we have election United States, we have election, several elections in Spain. We just had already election in Portugal. We have election in European Union. So I think where we have not election. So I think we are a company where we are 123 years old, 122 years old. We've been living under different regimes and different governments, and we've been able to manage the situation which whatever those one they will come. I think the case of the United States, so we've been already under Obama administration, under Trump administration, under Biden administration, and now whatever should come. And why? Because what we have clear is what we have already is to serve the citizen, is not to serve the politician, and we are providing the service. In the particular case in the United States, I think the stability, and I link with the last question you make, the stability is given because the regulation is not dependent of the networks, is not dependent of federal authorities, is dependent of the states. So it means our rate cases are in each of the state, we have a negotiation, and the terms of those one are those what are fixing the terms of investment in return for the next few years. Particularly now, I think is we just last year we signed the largest utility we had already, which is New York State. We signed already just rate case for the next 3 years up to 2028, which is already just giving us a return, which is on the range of. Correct to me, 9.5%. So 9.5%, which I think is in line with what we are expecting. And more than that, they are already requesting more than doubling investment in the state. I think is the numbers what we are foreseeing is a range of $6 billion in capex investment in the, only New York State. Similar returns are another state. Similar returns are in Maine, and so I think. But I think it's important that you fix already that our 80% of our business in the state are linking with networks, and networks are depending of the, not the federal authorities, is depending of state authorities, state regulators. The second thing was related to 50%. So I think that is the reason why we are investing in the state. I think it's United States is networks, stable, predictable, in a country which needs a lot of investment, a lot of capex in the state because the grid is already, most of it is not in a good shape. I think the grid that you can see, you go to New York or you go whatever state on the eastern part of the United States, the grid is looks quite obsolete. We compare what we have in Europe, and I think they need already expansion, reinforcement, digitalization, and that is what is already fully required. The another one is. Well, I think it's. In the past, I think if we changed the team is just because we are trying to improve. So I think last year our results were improved a lot with a new team. And I think what I can tell you, the result we are achieving in this moment are in line with the budget for the year, which I think is on that one. I think what's very important to sign the rate cases we signed last year. So I think with the new rate cases and with realistic terms in terms of target of service, let's say, how the storms is going to be treated is one of the problems we are facing. All these things are more clear, and the new team is already doing the things much better on that one. So I think we can tell you that last year the result that you can see, I think, is much better than the previous one, and that's why the network business is providing what we are expected to be provide because the team is already doing the necessary for make that happen.
Let me give two gentlemen here in the first line, and then I'm committed to go back to the room. Sorry.
Thank you, Ignacio. It's Fernando Lafuente from Alantra. I have three questions, please. The first one is a follow-up on the capital gains on Mexico. If I understood correctly, Pepe, it's net of taxes and does not include any kind of provision, and it's not in the financial targets, right? And the question is, You mentioned that you're going to use them for efficiencies. Where do you see the biggest efficiencies within the group? And if these efficiencies could imply an upside on the targets that you have for 26? The second question is on the, coming back again on the balance sheet. This buyout of Avangrid, it's kind of a bolt-on acquisition to improve the, let's say, the risk profile of the group. Are you considering additional acquisitions of similar size, 2, 3, 4 billions, that could add to the growth of the company medium term? And the third one is on Spain. On the one hand, on the mix of generation, and your views on first nuclear, and secondly, the role of thermal assets in this context, in which, in theory, nuclears are going to be closed at some point in the next few years, and what should be the use of your thermal capacity going forward? And the second related to Spain is on networks. If I understood correctly, the plan includes a flat return for 26 on your networks in Spain, in these sensitivities of 50 bips up and down. What are your conversations with the regulator regarding a potential increase in these returns for networks? Thank you so much.
Pepe?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, we are going to print, and we're going to have a capital gain net of taxes this quarter of 1.1 billion euros, taking into account also that last year we had a negative impact of 160. And obviously we are not planning to, you know, we are planning, and I think that is a better answer for the chairman than me, to do efficiencies and other elements that will support growth for our results in the following year. So in our guidance, we have not included the capital gain, any capital gain coming from Mexico, despite the fact that it's a large capital gain. No?
So I think on the point related to Spain, rate case, I think, as you know, the rate case is, we have a rate case up to end of 2025. So I think it's the terms of that one is clear. I think we have already just a cap for investment, and we have already a remuneration which is well below what we have in other countries. The talks we have with them is in this moment is how, if this cap of investment can be already ends with it, and to have already the possibility of investing more, which I think is fully needed. And in terms of remuneration, our expectation is that they will be aligned with this in other countries. So I think you compare, and we put in our presentation, the remuneration in different countries, either in the state, either in Britain, has already similar return, with the exception of Brazil, with inflation is much higher. So I think there are no reason why Spain is going to be different than other ones. So our expectation is, nevertheless, we are talking about 1 year in the whole project in a network business, we represent 20% of our regulated asset base compared with the whole group. So I think it's Spain and networks is important, but it's only represent 20% of our RAB. 80% is another country where we will define all our returns up to more than end of the period. I think that is the three things. Is that another one?
The thermal.
Well, I think in nuclear, I think I'm not repeating this thing. So I think they are already just a protocol already signed, in which we agree with the government to make already a process of closing this power plant from 28 to 2035. I think we are already, would like to respect that one, but I think in any case, technically, this nuclear power plant with some investment can already extend their life easily, but I think it's the question, economical question. I think it's some are requesting to extend life of those ones if they are already properly compensating the capex, extra capex we need to make. I think we're ready to analyze that one. But today's position is we respect what we have already signed.
Javier Garrido, please, and then José Javier Ruiz on the back of the room.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Javier Garrido, JP Morgan. First question would be on your investment targets. You have gradually shifted towards 2/3 networks, 1/3 renewables. What can drive you back to a more balanced 50-50 or approach? Is you need more power demand in Europe? What would be driving you back to investing more in renewables, given that you have the balance sheet to do it? Second question would be on the transmission business. You have highlighted the strong growth in that business, and I was wondering whether you would have any plan to give more visibility to that business by separating it from other networks, in order to make it clearer as a driver of growth and profitability, and also you would consider entering the transmission business in other countries, given that there are fewer barriers on entry than in distribution, if that would be one of your plans for the future. And then the third question is a very specific one to Pepe. I noticed that you are looking for a significant reduction in the cost of financing in euros, and I think in British pounds was as much as 110 basis points reduction. Given your views on short-term rates going down, but long-term rates stay now being higher, you can elaborate on how can you see such a big drop in euro in the cost of financing in euros and pounds, given that you have a high proportion of fixed cost debt. Thank you.
So I think the first one, why to invest more in networks than in renewables. So I think I was, is not new. I think I was saying that in the last, in 2022, we said that we are going to prioritize our investment in networks. We are going to be selective in renewables. I think some were, it was a shock for certain of our colleagues. And I think is, and I think we are seeing that what we did, it was already the right position. We have the fortune that we have already networks, this positioning in countries will require huge investment on that one, and we are prioritizing, because I insist on that one, we have a public service obligation. And second, we have already predictable, clear, predictable returns, and that's why I think that we are prioritizing. I think with transmission, transmission is not new. I think the fact here in Britain, we have a special license for transmission. So it's a business. We have a Scottish Power Distribution, a Scottish Power Transmission. There are two different licenses. But traditionally, we put inside of networks. But I think now we are seeing that that is traditional has been already an area which is quite sleepy, let's say. It's not requiring much investment. It's very stable, predictable, but it's not already a growing area. Suddenly, because of the comments I was making in my speech, is transmission is becoming saying the distribution crucial for many things, and that's why it's already afford, yes, a growing, very important growing area of our business. And we feel that we need to have full transparency with you, showing that that this area which exists before, but we have not already, let's say, provide a special information because we put inside of the networks, it's time to show that that's already, yes, a clear, growth area of our network business. So, but I think it's a growth area in Britain with transmissions, as we've just completed in the Western Link connection, now with the Eastern Link, and some more demand on those one. Same thing in the case of the United States with this. We have the transmission already in Maine, but I think this new transmission line to connect Canada with Massachusetts. Same thing in the case of Brazil, but we were not really present, and now this auction that we've been awarded in the last few years, now is starting already generating cash flow in the moment those one are putting in service. That's why we are just presenting. And I think it's a very relevant business. I think it's not something we can be already putting inside of our networks business alone, because in a total wrap by 2026 on the range of 54-55 billion, 15 billion is going to come, or this wrap is going to come for transmission. That's why we are going to, for now, we are going to present yourself as a business with us already providing a lot of cash flow, a lot of growth into the company. So why don't you go to other countries? I think we are in networks, we are focused in the countries where we are. I think we are not already planning to look for another alternatives in another country. So I think to make greenfield transmission in some countries, I don't know if that is an easy task, because I think it's very complicated, require a lot of skills and a lot of knowledge in each country. So I think being already, having the present, we have already in Britain, United States and Brazil, what we are allowed to make transmission. Not in the case of Spain, as you know, we are not allowed. So we have more than enough for in our growing expectation. And what more?
Interest rates.
To Pepe.
No, for two reasons. First, because during the years that that interest rates were very low, and we have commented this before, we have been doing interest rate forwards. So we have been able to fix part of our debt that is starting now at levels below what you see today in the long-term interest rates. Okay? This is the first reason. And the second reason is that in the case of East of Anglia 3, we also fixed our cost of debt ahead. So the two elements are allowing us to have lower financial expenses in euros and in pounds, given our this policy.
José Javier Ruiz, and then we are going to stay in the back of the...
Yeah, hello, good morning.
Peter as well.
Good morning, everyone. Just two questions, the strategic ones. I will rephrase Javier's question. When do you expect the next renewable cycle? So basically, everybody's cutting down on renewables. There is priority for networks. When do you expect? Is that before 2030, after 2030, if you can guide us? And the second question, you said electrification is unstoppable. I guess low electricity prices are helping. What would you require, how long would you require electricity prices to remain low in order to have a sustainable investment in electrification of the economy? Thank you.
So I think in renewables, I said, what are the drivers of that one? I think it's in the Western countries, I think the drivers is a part of the demand, is the decommissioning of the existing power plant. So I think there are many power plants which are at the end of their lives, and I think those power plants have to be substituted for something. I always comment the decision has been taken by the Australian government. Australia is a country with majority of the supplies coming from coal. And I think in my recent meeting with Albanese, with the Prime Minister, they had already make a plan in which they took the decision what substitution have to be made, to build new coal power plant or to build new renewable power plant using their own natural resources, their natural resources of coal, but are not sustainable, and the natural resources, which is wind and sun, which are sustainable. And they decide to move to the direction of investing and transforming their mix on that one. So how is that is going to evolve? How the existing power plant is going to be closed? That will be a driver of that one. The second driver is the demand. So I think that you see every time sectors like transport, sector like data, sector like housing and buildings, sector industrial sectors, sector like hydrogen. So what is going to happen with hydrogen? It depends on the support which the countries are providing on this one. So all those ones will be the drivers for this one. And that will be not unique. Depends in this country. So in the case of Spain, we are seeing that unless our industry industrial transformation will be faster, or the interconnection increases, or we are already given the enough support for making more hydrogen, we can already inject this green hydrogen to the industry. I think the flow of the demand is the picture I showed to you, which I think there are certain hours of the day when we have access to what the demand we have, and thanks in our case to our storage capacities, we can already keep and maintain our margins in a good position. So the cycle, I think, it depends how evolve the demand, how evolve the closing of the existing premises, and the demand is now recently Germany is providing 4 billion euros for already introducing massive green hydrogen, or hydrogen into the industry. So, which I think that certain is going to accelerate the construction of more renewable for that. So in Britain, now as well, there are some plans. They have already allocated certain hundreds of million pounds in which we have been benefiting or someone for hydrogen. It's a plan of 3 years. So I think we are not talking at 10-15 years. We are talking 3 years, and we would like to show to you a plan, realistic, not dreaming. And realistic means, as Armando was showing, is plans were there today under construction, mostly. So what we are going to make in 29, let's see, in 27, we will present to you the new plan. We show you what we are making for that time. Now it's 26. In 26, we would like to show you things what you can touch, not things that you can dream with. So I think it's touching. So offshore is now in construction. By 26, we'll give 1 billion extra EBITDA. So, and that is realistic. In transmission, in distribution, we are not dreaming. It's rate cases which is already signed. We know the term, and we know what is the amount of investment we are awarded for investing in those ones. So that's why. I think that is answered by your question, I think. Javier, thank you.
Second one is related to prices of the energy, Mr. Galán. The prices of the energy.
Sorry?
José Javier. Well, it's about...
electrification of the economy. Of course. I think the drivers of electrification, there are two things. I think we have already learned during the last 2 years what is the risk of external dependency of fossil fuels. So volatility we have been introduced as consequence of the problem with Russia, Ukraine, et cetera, Russian gas. We've seen what happened. But I think it's not the first time. I think in my years in this company, we have already had three energy crises. So time to time happens something in some part of the world which introduces volatility. What can provide the renewables? Stability, predictability. And I think that is why the large corporations are signing with us. So PPA is long term, with a price which is not based in the volatility in the fossil fuel market. It's based in our cost. So and they, that is they would like. I think last year we were the company in Europe. We will sign more PPAs, and we continue. Why? Because we are not depending what is going to happen somewhere else in the world. For whatever reason, there are lack of supply of whatever fossil fuels we can already generate this volatility. And the big corporations make that one. And as much companies are understanding that the most important for their business is not already being dependent what they, in things which they cannot manage, so as much people are signing that one. I think Mercedes in Germany, we are already 80 or 85% of their energy supplies meet for ourselves with the PPA on the production we have in the Baltic. So said, the business is not to play with this one. The business is to make good design of the cars, good marketing of the car, good whatever thing. And that is their business. Sending hour is not already to see how the things are to evolve. It's how we can make more efficient our power plant. So that is our business. Our business is not to be depending what is happening somewhere else to try to make. No, it's how we can make this power plant more efficient. And that's why I think that is already been every time more and more accelerating. Every time more and more large corporations are signing, every time more and more industries are signing. The fact, so as Armando was mentioned, so 800% of our production for the year is sold, 80% of the year is sold, 70% of 2020 is sold. And what these people are looking, not only what is based in our cost for providing their own, we can keep our margin, they can already be already quiet and relaxed, that the prices can already be stable on that one.
Peter and then Gonzalo, and we move to another part of the room. Peter, please.
Yeah, good morning. It's Peter Bischtiger from Bank of America. Two questions, if I may. First one, coming back to the topic of data centres, I'd be interested to hear whether the PPAs that you've signed, for example, with Amazon, Do they command a premium of any sort over the ones that you sign with Mercedes or other industrial customers? Do you think in future you'll get bigger premiums for as consumed PPAs rather than as generated PPAs? So that's my first question. And then the second one, maybe for Pepe, on your famous sensitivity slide, you'll be interested to understand a little bit how you calculate the sensitivity to the €5 per megawatt hour move in Spanish power prices, and particularly what assumption are you making about retail prices in Spain? Are they moving by the same amount or is there a different dynamic? Thank you.
So I think on the first one of the PPAs, certain, I think the PPAs is based on the household business. What is our cost and what is the margin we have already in this one, and what is this price is convenient for the buyer or not? They're an important thing on this one. I think the data centers need electricity 24 hours a day. It's not already just energy according with you, with one particular or another one. I think we are one of the few we can provide this 24-hour service. Because in some countries, because we have another alternative energy supply centers, and storage is an important part. Another one is hydro, another one is another thing. What we can already provide that one. I think they're requesting green, and they're requesting already 24-hour service. And I think that we are already, of course, if we provide 24-hour service, we have a premium toward what is the simple PPA base in one particular power plant. So another one, Pepe?
Sensitivity. Well, basically, what we have done is we have, as the chairman and Armando have mentioned, we analyze how much electricity we have already sold to our clients. We have also, and then we analyze, obviously, what is the maturity profile and the churn rate. With this, we have an open position and in different years, and then we are assuming that there is a renewal of this open position at levels of around €60 per megawatt hour, and that is what gives, you know, the sensitivity impact. I don't know if you want to.
No. I think I was very clear on that one. So, which I think we are expecting a lower retail prices, but I think only affected a part of our global business. So, I think 2/3 of our business is sold at the price which is already agreed. But I think the retail, in a few another one, is already a rotation, and I think those one will renew. There's a lower prices than another one, and that is affecting not to the whole production, only a part of the production with this one is going to renew, and we have already just a reduction of prices, which this is compensating with the extra production, mainly I think is for the new renewable we are already putting in service, and I give you already the details, only offshore represent €1 billion extra, so which I think only with offshore we are already more the offsetting or potentially offsetting all those ones. I think in Mexico is as well. It's not a question of price. It's a question that we divested, so it's not contributing. But for that one, I think we will have 6,000 extra megawatts of renewable, which are generating as well at the price, at this new price.
Thank you.
Gonzalo, and then.
Hi, good morning. Gonzalo Sánchez Bordona from UBS. I have a few questions related with networks, since you seem to be finding new investments pretty much at every CMD. I was wondering, on your plan, you're saying that 80% of your expected investments in networks up to by 2026 will have an agreed regulatory framework. So there's two questions there for me. One is, what are your assumptions in terms of, I mean, on Spain, you more or less said there is flat return, but I'm trying to understand, you know, what is your assumption for everything else? Are you assuming same regulated returns in the 2026 renewals or whatever? So, and effectively, would that mean that that's potentially, or is it fair to assume that potentially there is some upside on the numbers if rates remain at high levels as compared to the previous reviews? So that would be the first question. Second question is on your conversations that you're having or your expectations regarding regulatory reviews in the next few years. Are there any clear sources of potential upside on investments similar to what you've had in New York? You were already kind of anticipating that a little bit earlier. Is there anything that we should be expecting looking forward in terms of big investment hikes in the next 2-3 years? So that would be the two sources of potential upside, I guess. Also on the risk side, you've had some issues on NSEP execution. So I'm wondering, you know, what is your perceived risk on executing this very ambitious networks plan, particularly thinking in the US where permitting and other stuff has been a potential issue. And last one, also on the downside risk or potential risk that I'm seeing on this plan, is you are effectively increasing significantly the investments in networks. Is there any, or are you seeing any issues with securing supplies for the kind of execution that you need? Thank you very much.
So thank you, Gonzalo. So I think, as we mentioned, rate cases, 85% of the rate cases are plurianual. And that's a sign. I think we are not changing the rates every year. I think it's sign that the New York, I'm looking to you because we asked before about that one, is from 23 to 27 or 28. So I think that we know the terms in terms of remuneration. The investment, they allow us a certain level, maximum level of CAPEX, which I agree with you. In many cases, they are already coming, the regulators, saying we need an extension of the one, an expansion of the one, for whatever circumstances, new demands or whatever thing. And we are already ready for making that one. So there is a real upside. What if they request more, we have to make more. So that's clear one point. So intense permits, I think in the regulated, we have certain rules without facilitating the permit. So it's in the case of distribution. So I think that we are we have rules in most countries which allow ourselves to make the things in a, let's say, more agile manner than another traditional permitting processes. In transmission, the main ones we have today in construction are already with all the permits in hand. So NCEC in the United States, finally, after 2 years of delays, of discussion, now is all the permits, and we are already, since mid of last year, in full construction of that one. Same thing in Brazil, and in Britain, I think those what we are already the permits away for those ones. And in terms of execution, so it's good that you asked to that. I think it's, if we are well known, then we are the best in class in execution. So I think what we are, committed doing something, always, always, always we make in time, in price, and according with the schedule we have already fixed. So I think I not any doubt of my engineers, electricians, economists, and whatever, then they we will fulfill the things in terms of execution according with this plan. So no doubt. I think we find out big, big problems in certain of our projects. In France, for instance, Saint-Brieuc was terrific, difficult project for making that one. I think traditional offshore is made already in the seabed sand, and I think suddenly we discovered which is basalt, and is already granite, and I think instead of come with him, clavar is nails, we need to drill, and I think we need to invent new system for drilling for this huge, but we did, and now it's in place, it's working, it's producing. So I have no doubt about that one. Then in terms of execution, is a must. There you have not any doubt that we will fulfill that one in this step. Thank you for the question of the execution, Gonzalo.
Sorry, we missed a clarification about the Spanish distribution returns for 2026.
Well, in 2026, what that says, I think we have up to 2025. The returns in Spain are the lowest of all the countries we have present in this moment. What we are expecting is even if it represents only 1 year, in the 20% of our global wrap of the whole regulated business. So it's very small in the comparison that one, but our expectation is they will be aligned with the rest of the remuneration of the rest of the countries. It's no sense then Spain had a different one, because it will be not coherent with the PNIEC, with the National Plan of Energy Transition, which are already encouraging to make more investment. I think they are not providing already a proper return. I think they are not incentivizing that happen. So I think I'm sure that is going to be aligned with another one. And I think my feeling is in the mind of the regulators on this line.
Any question at the right part? Make it. Here. Well, go ahead and then.
James Brown from Deutsche Bank. Two questions from me, please. Firstly, on hedging, you've talked about doing more medium-term hedging in Spain in respect to the nuke and the hydro, where you would have historically generally only hedged maybe a year or two. Could you maybe describe a bit more detail what you've been doing there? And then for 2026, we can potentially back it out from your sensitivity, but just to maybe help us, how much of the Spanish nuke and the hydro have you hedged already for 2026? That's the first question. And then secondly, on solar, you showed the production profile you anticipate for 2030 in Spain in one of the earlier slides, with production peaks more than demand over the middle of the day. How does that make you feel about solar? It's obviously a relatively small part of your overall renewable investment, so you're not going big on solar, but does that make you reluctant to do more solar in Spain? Would you maybe direct your investments more for markets maybe like the UK that doesn't have very much solar already, even though it doesn't have much sun, but would perhaps not see the production peaks? Thank you very much.
So I think in the case of solar, it's very simple. I think it's the same question, the same answer that I gave before. So I think it's, if the demand is not evolving in Spain or changing because of more demands as a consequence of all these things, data centers, transport, electric vehicles, hydrogen, et cetera, if we are not already, this demand is not increasing on that one, what we are foreseeing with today's solar construction of planning on that one is going to be at middle of the day a huge excess of this one, which I think there are huge excess, the prices will be already down. That's why we are investing in storage. That's why we are already using, and you saw how the trend of our storage facilities are increasing the hours of they are already working. We are already buying electricity in the hours with their excess at low prices, and we are already providing and supplying electricity in the hours which the demand is much higher and the prices, of course, are much higher, making the substitution of the CCGTs of gas. So I think our manageable renewable, which is storage and hydro, are already just being the substitution at the better price than the inefficient CCGTs, which they are already, yes, it's not the same thing, the price of a CCGT when they are working in base load, then we have stop and go, stop, go, stop. So I think in this one, when they have to be in these places, the price is much higher on that one. And we can already offer to the citizen a price slightly below these inefficient CCGTs, and at the same time, then we can already absorb during the hours with their excess of electricity for providing this electricity in times which is already needed. And we can already, with that one, we can make a good business with this transaction. So I think that's it. How much is hedged? So I think we are not hedging this particular hydro whatever. We are hedging all our production, average production. And as we were mentioning, we have in this moment, in the group, I don't know the detail in Spain, as you know, but we have 100% of our expected production of electricity sold already for 2024, 80% by, or 85% for 80%. For 2025 and 75 for 2025, so 2026. I think that is globally through this contract, which is PPAs, CFDs, and retail, which is long-term retail, but I think there's a certain rotation on these retail customers, as I mentioned already in my presentation.
Make it here, on the please, there.
Thank you for taking my questions. Maike Becker, HSBC. I have two. The first one is on your longer-term growth expectations. You show on slide 64 how you have reached this high single-digit growth CAGR over years and years and also expected to 26. How are you feeling about your growth opportunities to 2030 and beyond? Is it in the same range? The second question is about offshore wind and the execution and supply side of it. How do you feel about the execution risks in offshore wind relative to 23, now in 24, and how are you managing these risks? Thank you.
So, well, I think I provide you as much data as I'm available for 2030. So I think for 2030, what is clear is that we are going to increase our regulatory asset base. I think we will continue investing in networks in line with what we've been investing up to now. And I think you can make your numbers to extrapolate. So, and in terms of renewables, we are already giving you how much new megawatt we will have in service. In 2026, we will deliver 100% from 2027, and then, which is the number of total megawatt we plan to have already by the end of the decade. So to give you some more things, my mind is more or less we will continue building on the range of 3,000 megawatt per annum, and we will continue investing on the range of putting already extra RAB. I think we are moving from 54 to 71 billion, so which I think is 5-6 billion more extra per annum. So with this, you can make your more or less your models on that one. But I think it's, that is the most we can tell you for the time being for 2030. Offshore. So, of course, in offshore, I think we are 100% of our supply chain secure. So I think we are in construction, those one. It's not already, we are not planning to make. Now is Anglia 3 is already now. I think I was yesterday with a shadow cabinet here in London, and she was already a few days ago visiting the premises of Lommerhof here in East Anglia. So it's something which is real. It's not already just a project in the paper. It's the turbines is contracted, the cable is contracted, the substation is contracted, the foundation are contracted. All these are already signed. In another one, in the state, it's already 50, 49 from 65 turbines are already installed. So, which I think is not already expecting anything else. And in the case of Germany, Baltic Eagle is almost completed. I think they will start production during the end of this year. And Windanker is all is agreed as well, which is as well as starting the construction. So I think 90% of all our needs of that one are already secure, signed, because we made for many years, we are making framework contracts. We are not buying contract by contract. I think we are not buying solar panels for this project. We are buying solar panel for the year or for the next 2 years. We are not buying cable for this project. We are buying so many kilometers for the whole group of cables for hundreds of kilometers, what we need in different parts of the globe. We are not buying transformer for this particular substation. We are buying hundreds of transformer for all our substation for the next 3 or 4 years. And what that makes good for the vendors, for the suppliers, because they can already plan their own production. They can buy the components needed for this one. And it's good for us because they give the certainty that we have in time, and we have 10 good prices for that one. It's not very different in terms of our approach for partnering with are making the car industry. I learned from them how to make that one. So we are trying to copy aeronautics with the same thing. So we are trying to make already this framework in such a way they've already guaranteed suppliers with a plan to give to them and with framework contracts in which they can already hedge or they can buy already the component need for the supply they have to make to ourselves.
Okay, now our friends from JB and Caixa. Portuguese friends.
Thank you for taking my questions, Pedro from CaixaBank. So actually two follow-ups from previous questions. The first one on the balance sheet. So 24% FFO net, that's clearly a comfortable level considering your risk profile. I was wondering if you can provide us some guidance on the firepower that you may have for growth capex, being it inorganic, organic, considering the thresholds, the minimum thresholds of rating agencies and what would be the priorities in terms of markets and geographies. And secondly, going back to the topic of nuclear, the phase-out that is agreed in Spain, I would be interested in your high-level comments on the potential price impact this will have on wholesale market in Spain, given where we are in terms of flexible generation technologies, and perhaps also the impacts this may have on your capital allocation guidelines. Perhaps this will increase your short position in terms of generation in Spain, especially if electrification or demand does take off. So this will perhaps bring you back to invest more in Spain, either in storage or even renewables again. Thank you.
Pepe, you mentioned about the balance sheet.
Well, I think it's quite easy because, I mean, for every 1 billion more or less of additional debt, we lose around 0.4 FFO over net debt. So basically, this is something that you can make. Obviously, it depends on how much FFO we buy something that brings compared to the debt, et cetera. No? But this is more or less, a hypothetical analysis, no? Because as we have been mentioned, this plan is based on organic growth.
So I think in terms of nuclear, as I think I replied before, so I think it's, we have a signed protocol, and I think the signed protocol, there are the dates for closing this nuclear power plant, unless the political they decide that they will request ourselves to extend already the life of those one. Technically, it's possible. So I think it's, we require some extra investment for making that happen. And I think if they request and they are ready to pay and to pay this extra capex or to the return for the extra capex we require, I think we'll be already ready for already expanding that one. What is going to happen if that is closed, which is already the plan? So certain, I think the volatility increases and I think this volatility increases is that makes then our pumping storage role will increase as well. I think we have the opportunity of making more the manageable renewable can already have to play a more important role in the energy mix than today. So I think is that's it. So that's why we are already just preparing ourselves, making already some extra investment in more already pumping storage, so reinforcing or transforming certain of our facilities. We are in this moment making one which is in the Tajo River Torrejón to Valdecañas, which is already another one in the Duero area as well. We are already making those one because we feel, and there are another project which is in line because that is going to be needed. It's not only a question of the business, it's a question of stability of the system. So I think we have the two caps. Is we are providing a public service, and I think we are not only looking for the business, and looking for the keeping the lights on in the country, and that is crucial for keeping the lights on. So that's why.
Jorge.
Good morning, Jorge Guimarães from JB Capital. I have two questions. The first one, is it possible to give us an idea about the assumptions on Spanish taxation in the guidance, namely nuclear tax?
In the
guidance. What is the scenario for revenue tax and nuclear tax in the guidance? And the second is a follow-up to the previous question. When do you expect storage through batteries to be economically viable in Spain in this scenario of nuclear closing? Thank you very much.
So I think in the second one, the battery storage, I think the batteries is I'm already in favor of batteries. So the fact I spent 70 years of my professional life already in battery business. So I was designing and manufacturing batteries in the Tudor times, which I were in Portugal as well, in Castañeda do Ribatejo. So the factory. So I've been on this one, and I strongly believe in batteries. The point is that today, batteries can be already used for a small period of time in economic manner. It's after 2, 3, 4 years at most can already be economic viable. But I think you cannot store it, electricity, and we can. So I think you cannot make batteries of the size of a stadium for storing the excess of electricity generating during Saturdays and Sundays. And you cannot already provide already, even during the day, you need already you have to generate electricity. 8 hours, you need to store 8 hours. So, but I think probably it's not enough summer, it's not enough demand for this time. So that's why our analysis is batteries is fine, up to 2 to 4 hours per day, in a more or less, in some cases will be more economical, another one less economical. That's what you are making in some countries like Britain. I think here in Wiley, we have already a huge battery here in one of our onshore wind farm, which is providing 2-3 extra hours of production. We have already in our hydrogen power plant of Puerto Llano, we have a battery just beside our solar power plant. We can provide 2 or 3 extra hours of electricity to the hydrogen power plant. So we are using that one. So that's why I think tax the battery competitiveness, it will depend on technology, but as well for the massive investment, I think they are already today, I don't know, say tomorrow, today, the most efficient manner is pumping storage. I think tomorrow, if the batteries are improving more, they have to play even more role than today. But I think they have a role to play, no doubt. In terms of tax, well, in Spain, we have already 38 different taxes. So when you're talking about taxes, we have 40. The last two, I think one is in Aragon, another one in the country of us. 40 different taxes. So, of course, you're contemplating these 40 different taxes. With the taxes we pay in Spain in this moment, these taxes, not the corporate tax apart, on the top. So it's more than our cost of financial cost, operational maintenance cost, and personal cost. So that were the account of last year. We pay 1.7 billion taxes, the top, with a total operational maintenance cost on the range of 1.6, correct to me, including financial costs. So we included all this one. So, so the only thing would happen is to improve. So it can be worse. So 40 taxes. So I think we have hundreds of people dedicated to make that one. It's local, regional, environmental, whatever. We pay for the nuclear. We pay nuclear waste because it's waste. But the nuclear, because it's nuclear. Nuclear because it's in the village, which is nuclear. Nuclear because... So 25 euros per megawatt hour we pay in nuclear. 25 euros. So that is included. So the only thing can already improve. It's impossible.
Jorge Alonso.
Hi, Jorge Alonso from Societe Generale. Just one question on the return on the capital employed that you said that you are going to achieve 100 bips above what you expected 1 year ago. And I think it's very remarkable. It's not just putting more capex and then getting more EBITDA. It's that the EBITDA on the same or on the capital employed will be better. So profitability of the assets will improve. I would just like to know your view about where this comes from. It's networks efficiencies, it's lower cost on the networks, and then profitability of the same capex is higher. It's renewables where you have the PPAs and then capex maybe is a little bit lower and then profitability is better. So because it's important if you see real profitability on the assets improving. Thank you.
Basically, as you see, we are reducing the investment the investments compared to the previous plan, taking into account that, for example, PNM was a very, very large investment, and that investment, obviously, as we have said, was providing not a lot of returns. Okay, so basically, we are able to reduce the investment in an important manner, and obviously we are able to get returns which are in line or better than the last plan. So basically that is the reason. Also, for example, on renewables, we are able to or we are investing less with higher with higher returns. No? So in that sense, I think that the investment criteria and the fact that we have been investing less amount is allowing to have a higher return on the capital employed. No?
One point as well, Pepe, that you make in your presentation is the way that our needs is for the working capital, and the, sorry, in the working process. So I think it's in the moment we are completing certain of our power plants, which takes long period of maturity. So I think the amount of capital which is already generating returns increases, and that is improved. So I think now it's 25%, no, Pepe? In the working process of your needs.
Now, well, in terms of the working capital, is around 25%, but it's similar to the previous plan, so that has not increased. Okay, so basically, but one third of our total investments, one third of our investments, are work in progress. So two thirds are giving money, but one third is still not giving money.
So that means the expectation is that there are not so many large projects that is going to potentially improve in the future.
Okay, more questions? Sorry.
Yes, hi, this is Ahmed from Jefferies. I have a question on your the power price sensitivity slides. You mentioned earlier some hedging levels. Could you give us the overall sort of contracted, uncontracted sort of power price or energy price that goes along with it in Spain and UK, so and the associated EBITDA impact? I'm just trying to understand how the sort of the what we have seen in the wholesale power prices, what is the sort of the associated EBITDA impact between 24 and 26 for that? So that's one. And could you talk a little bit about the profitability of the CapEx program? You've mentioned various elements to it, but I just wonder if there was an EBITDA to CapEx number you could sort of provide us. And then just also give us a little bit of sense of what you're seeing in the PPA market in terms of, you know, the trend this year versus last year. How are the sort of the prices evolving? Thank you.
Pepe, you reply the prices.
Yeah, well, I think that the more or less as the amount that we are losing in terms of EBITDA due to these sensitive prices is around 1.2 billion euros, okay? And as the chairman has said, that is compensated with the increase in the offshore production and in the at the other offshore and the other renewables. But the impact that we are seeing due to this prices is around 1.2 billion.
You can find the sensibility analysis of EBITDA in the annex part. So is there the impact? More questions? Okay, we have several questions from Alberto Gandolfi, Goldman Sachs, and Javier Suarez, Mediobanca, made by the web. Most of them has been about power prices, offshore, etc. But the only one that has not been answered is regarding hybrid. Do you include the incremental hybrid by 2026? How many hybrids will you have by 2026? And do you include a portion of it in your 54 billion net debt guidance?
Pepe.
No, the same. We've said that we are going to maintain the current stock, which is 8.2 billion euros, and that is what we are expecting. Take into account that we have very little redemptions of hybrid to roll over. And the idea is to maintain the same stock.
Okay, if there is no more question, we can go to enjoy the lunch break. And then, as I mentioned before, we have several questions. I don't know, Mr. Galán, if you would like to say something to closing remarks for this part.
Very much. I think it's always your question are very welcome. I think they open our mind, and I think we are not doing everything perfect, but I think your question help to us to rethink about what everything we are doing and to reinforce those things that we have already just decided to go ahead. So thank you very much, and I think it's, as always, our people will be ready to reply to you. And this afternoon, you know, you have already this session, which many of the questions you have already passed, they have much more detail to comment with you about everything related to technology, human resources, M&As, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you very much. Thank you.